Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vazquez. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are searching for truths in ancient orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week, free of charge, either as a podcast on Apple iTunes or on the internet at epostle.net, Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World. Whether you're listening on CD, over the internet, or on your MP3 player, we invite you to sit back, turn up the volume, and get ready to take the next step.
Welcome to The Next Step. Hey, this is Father Vazquez, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast dedicated to looking at life, inspecting the very fabric of our being, and doing it all through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission, and of course it's brought to you exclusively by the good folks over at the Apostles Net. That's Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic and Expanding Universe. Hey, if you're ready, let's take the next step. Well, it is great to have you with us today, and of course, even better that we're here, too. We wouldn't have a program otherwise, right? Well, I just flew in from San Francisco, and Susie just got in from Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. How was it? Thumbs up, yes. And she got a chance to see the White House from outside. Did you get a look at Obama and the family, the first family? How about the dog, the hairless dog? I forgot what kind. Ah, okay. Well, she said that she had a wonderful trip, and she's going to be filling us in a little bit. Hopefully, we'll get to see her pictures up online. And, of course, Ani's getting ready for some traveling. Ken just got back from the Midwest, and he's got another foot on the ocean liner ready to head out towards Indonesia. So we got all kinds of traveling plans coming up and around and back and forth. But the important thing is we are here today for this podcast because I did promise you, didn't I? We are going to be talking about light today, and I'm going to fulfill that promise. We're going to be looking at light in a very different light, let's say. We're going to be looking at Nerses Shnorhali's Aravot Luso. And before we do that, we're going to take advantage of the opportunity and talk a little bit about, well, what Susie always talks about. Yes, we're going to talk about what Susie talks about. And you know what she talks about? Well, if you just listen to her, she talks about the disenfranchised. Yes, the disenfranchised. What was that all about? Wait, are those guys just hanging out there waiting for me to say disenfranchised? Okay, enough. Very nice. Yes, that does sound disenfranchised. How about something more subtle? Disenfranchised. Yes, exactly. That's what I want. A bit more descriptive about what we're going to be talking about, don't you think? Yeah, the disenfranchised. People who are part of the committee, but for subtle reasons, maybe overt reasons, have drifted away from that community, from that body of believers, disenfranchised. And there's many, many, many reasons. There are many reasons, one of which always gets blamed. It's the language issue. Da-dum, the language issue. That's why I needed some music, you know. We're going to be looking at that, especially in the context of breaking apart this beautiful prayer, hymn, Aravot Luso. A conversation with God. And you're going to see that it's not about words. It's about feeling. It's about how your heart is communicating with God. That's our focus today. Of course, we've got Ani with her bubbles coming in a little bit. And we've just got a great show for you. So kick back. Just sit back. Relax. Enjoy it. Of course, don't fall asleep. Especially if you're driving and listening to this. That could be a problem. Let's kick off today's show, as we always do, with a great little tune. much more than just a simple tune, isn't that? That's from, of course, one of the most recognizable composers, Aram Khachaturian, and that is from his Gayane Ballet. And this particular song is from Act 3, Scene 6. It's called Dance of the Youths. And I picked this out because, first of all, there's a very special lady. Her name is Gayane. She is en route as we speak right now to the United States, looking for a new opportunity for her daughter Mariam, at age 2. At age 2, she was severely burnt in Armenia, and she is coming here because the good folks at the Children's Burn Center have made arrangements for her to get some reconstructive surgery done and get some therapy so that she could lead a normal life. She's 18 years old right now. 16 years she's been in this body that has been desecrated because of this heat, because of the burn, and today she's looking forward to a great new opportunity. She arrives tonight, and mother and daughter, they're going to be our guests, part of the In His Shoes mission, and they'll be with us for the next, I believe, 6-9 months, and they're going to be getting therapy and getting treatments at Cedars-Sinai Hospital out in West Hollywood. We've got made arrangements for them to be staying in the area locally in Thousand Oaks area. These are all Southern California little areas and small little communities. And if you happen to be in that area, we do need help. You can walk in the shoes of others, or in this case, we're calling it, you can put on the mittens of others. In her mittens, we're calling this small little project. And I invite you to really get to our website, inhisshoes.org. Read the story, read the blog, get the information about some terrific people who are doing some terrific work. And our prayers, of course, are with Gayane, with her daughter Mariam, and everybody who's going to be helping out. Hey, get involved. It's a great time. It's a great time to really give of yourself. And In His Shoes, really, well, it speaks to me. It's our philosophy, isn't it? Walking in the shoes of others. It's almost God-ordained.
In the clear white sands of morning wonder, I take my place with the Lord of the Hills. Blue-eyed soldiers stand slightly discolored.
Well, are you ready for some Aravod Luso and Nerses Shnorhali? Well, today I did promise you we're going to be looking at Aravod Luso, which is probably one of the most intricate prayers of the Armenian Church. It is a prayer that is sung at the crack of dawn and probably reverberates throughout the entire day at different hours, with a theme of gentleness, of love, of God's care and compassion towards us. It is a prayer, a hymn, that is written in 36 different verses. Now, whenever you get a number like 36, now that's a perfect square, right? It's a 6x6 matrix. I did tell you that we will get to the numbers a little bit later. Just, I'm going to be teasing you with some of the numbers right now. But we are going to be talking, we're going to give special attention to numerology and numbers within the Orthodox faith, within Armadoxy. And that's coming up in future podcasts. But for right now, whenever you hear the number 36, it's got to trigger some bells and whistles in your head, because the number 36 is the number of letters in the alphabet, and that alphabet happens to be a God-ordained alphabet. What? Yes. A monk named Mesrob Mashtots in the 5th century went out to look for the letters of the Armenian alphabet. He invented the Armenian alphabet with one sole purpose: to translate the Bible into Armenian. And because of that alphabet, the Armenian people then developed their language and their culture. So you look at the Armenian people, everything that they have as a culture and their language and this rich, beautiful literary life that they enjoyed from the 5th century on is because they decided, the people decided, that they would answer yes to God. Here's the power of Armenian Orthodoxy, that this faith is based on this love for God, this wanting God, this wanting to be in communion, communicating with God. And so the alphabet was formed, and it's formed of 36 letters. Now, we're going to talk about that at some future time, I promised you. I mean, you can't even keep me away from it. It is so fascinating once we get into the matrix, the 6x6 matrix that makes up those 36 letters. It's a perfect, perfect square in many ways, more ways than you could imagine. I mean, we're talking about the perfection of the universe. And I promise you, we're going to get there. But hold your horses right now. Just slow down. Let's slow down. I mention all this because the prayer that we're going to be studying today, Aravot Duso, is made up of 36 verses. And last week I told you it's very similar to the Japanese form of haiku, in that there is an art form, there is a flow to it, same way with Aravot Duso. Each of the verses is made up of three stanzas, or three lines, let me say. And these three lines work in harmony with one another, so that there is a flow of idea that is not immediately comprehensible by the head, but definitely absorbed by the soul. Let's listen to a couple verses right now. The late, great Lucine Zakarian singing Aravot Duso, the first two verses. Sometimes she's referred to as the Nightingale of Armenia, and rightly so. Just a beautiful voice, adapted for the Armenian church music experience. That's what this is. It's a church music experience. And it is not necessarily connected to words. You see, the experience is much greater than a combination of just some words being put together. But it's a total experience. Sometime back in one of the podcasts, I talked about this sensory perception that we have. And we use all of our senses when we go into worship. When you sit at the Divine Liturgy, it's not just about translating a couple words. It's about letting go, letting yourself go at the moment. And really absorbing all facets of the liturgy. It's not just the words. It's the rhythm. It's the song. Entering through your ears, but feeling with your heart. It's the smells. The aroma of that incense. Filling up your nostrils, but taking you away to a unique place that's not necessarily here grounded in this world. Yes, it should lift you up, just as the smoke lifts up to heaven. It's the visual of seeing the vestments, seeing the rich colors, watching the altar, the curtains, the jingles, hearing all that experience, smelling it, seeing it, and finally it's partaking, right? It's tasting it. And that's why the hymn of communion says, come and see, the Lord is tasty. Yes, you participate with all of your senses. Now, a few minutes ago, I talked to you about the disenfranchised group of people. And there are so many people who are just alienated from the church. And especially you find this in ethnic churches where the blame gets thrown on what? Language. Now, I am American-born, and I could vouch for this. There are so many people, most of my friends, who have really stepped away from the church, aren't there, aren't visibly at the church on any given Sunday. And we call this a disenfranchised group of people, people who aren't necessarily connected with it, but feel that they have some roots there. And certainly church leadership will look to answer this problem. Obviously, if you've got such a large group of disenfranchised people, and you've got to believe that the numbers are huge, they aren't filling the pews, they aren't there, they aren't in the communal life of the church, church leadership is concerned. How can we solve this problem? And right away, what do they point to? They point to language. What's the obvious one, right? I can't understand. I walk into the church and I can't understand. And now there's discussion about, shall we change the language? Shall we change it into the common language of the people? Should it be English in the United States? Should it be Spanish in Argentina? And should it be French in France? And the discussion continues, and there's arguments one way or another way, until somebody stands up and says, no, don't touch it. You can't touch it. And unfortunately, they miss the point of the argument. Yes, that language is sacred. We just said it. That language was created with the sole purpose of communicating with God. So therefore, it is sacred. Okay, fine. But is that where the argument should end or even begin? Is that the extent of the discussion? Is that why people are disenfranchised from the church? Because they don't understand? Push yourselves. Think about it for a moment. Why are people disenfranchised? Why are people away from the church? It is not because of language. And that is the biggest mistake that church leadership has made. That's a mistake that so many times people do make. They bring it down to one single reason, and that is language. No, it doesn't work that way. Let me tell you something. Being an American-born person, I do not want to walk into my Armenian church and hear the service in English. I'm very comfortable with the ancient liturgy, with the ancient language, because to me it's not a question of taking one word and translating it and trying to understand, but it's a question of throwing myself into it and being absorbed at that moment by all the senses. Whatever senses and faculties that I have, to be able to look out and see all the rich colors, to be able to absorb the smells and the fragrances of the incense, to be able to hear the jingles and the sensation and the choir singing in harmony with the priest and the deacon, and even at that moment to be in tune with the prayer life of the congregation. So the real danger in bringing it down to one problem, and that being language, is that we start believing that the congregation itself is a homogenous group of people, that they are American-born, and therefore their only concern is to come to church and hear it in English. Hey, I got news for you. Somebody in America has so much more to be worried about than the language of a church. Right now, the financial situation, there is joblessness, there is homelessness, there is true financial chaos on the streets. Right now, there's tension in families caused by a promiscuous society that allows one thing and values something else. Well, a society that values money and places a premium on that above everything else. One of the outcomes of capitalist society. I mean, there are so many things going on in American society. And then what does church leadership do? They look for the easy fix. And they say, oh, it's a question of English. You know, that's why people aren't coming to church. Let's change it to English. I got to tell you, I'm born in America. I love the Armenian liturgy. And I'll tell you, there's probably some people who can't stand it. That's the truth too, right? It's not a question of standing or loving the liturgy. It's a question of understanding. Not the words, but the concept. Why am I there Sunday? And in the same way, when we look at Aravod Luso, doors open up for us. It allows us to look beyond those words. I mean, I read this beautiful translation of Aravod Luso. It's spectacular. I mean, each word was painstakingly translated into the English equivalent. Is that Aravod Luso? Certainly not. Aravod Luso, you heard a few minutes ago, is a song. It has a rhythm. It has a sense to it. And yes, there are words in there that can be translated, but that's not the all of it. And so as we look at this prayer today, I invite you really to step back and look at the entirety of the prayer. Look at the way it flows, the symmetry of the lines, and in so doing, realize that all of Armenian Orthodoxy is the call to engage in something greater than yourself. So that when you pray, whether it's the Lord's Prayer or a simple prayer of God, thank you, it's putting yourself in the moment. Many times people come up to me and they say, oh, I came to church and I didn't get anything out of it. Well, guess what, folks? You're not supposed to get anything out of it. You want something to get out of? You've got a week of life. I'm using week because church is once a week, right? You go Sunday mornings. It's this 1 hour slot. Well, let me tell you, if you want to get something out of life, there's 167 hours in the week that you are just getting everything you can, whether even if it's sleep, you're getting something there. You're getting oxygen. You're getting love. You're able to reach out and share with other people. You're getting laughter. And even when you cry during those hours, when you have rough times, aren't you glad you're alive? Aren't you glad that you have those feelings? And so the 1 hour, the 168th hour of the week, is to go into church and put something back into it. It's not there for you to get something out of. It's the John Kennedy speech. John Kennedy, probably because he was a Catholic, kind of figured this out. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. Well, God doesn't need you. You can't say what you can do for God. But you need God. And when you say, I need God, it's exactly this point. God is only going to answer when you're engaged with Him. When you're engaged and communicating with Him. You're talking to Him. And the Armenian Orthodox experience is not just a verbal experience. It's an entire, full body, holistic approach to it. Many of our genocide survivors, that generation, we had an opportunity to meet that generation. Many of them were illiterate. And yet I tell you, they had so much faith. They were illiterate. They didn't read a Bible. They never went through the pages of the Bible. I have grandparents. Yes, my grandmothers would read. My grandfather, one of them, was illiterate. I know people who were unable to read, yet they had more faith in just a moment and an expression of their lives than sometimes we have in our entire life. They were connected with God. And you could see that in many of that generation, despite all the hardships that they went through. I mean, these people saw genocide. They didn't see just, you know, their family get knocked off, get killed. They saw their entire country ruined, destroyed, desecrated. They saw their holy shrines ruined. And yet they kept their faith. They still believed in God. They still said, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And so you start understanding that faith is much more than the reasoning capacity that we have. Because if you look at it by reason, then forget it, right? But also, language is much more than the words that are used to express it. In other words, language has other means. There are other means of communicating that also are classified as language. To be able to sit in a church and be absorbed by all that is around you, from the smells to the sights to the sounds and from the taste, you are communicating. And that in itself is a language. And so Aravod Luso, this prayer, this Armenian haiku, so to speak, is really a language in itself, not made up of words, but made up of entire ideas of connecting us with something greater than ourselves. Now, this, of course, makes sense when you start understanding the 6x6 matrix, when you start understanding the 36 letters and how sacred they are to the entire concept. But today we're going to be talking just about the prayer in itself. Aravod luso arekagnartar aris luiszakya. First, experience the flow. Did you feel it when I read those verses? Did you feel that flowing nature, the rhythm, so to speak, of the prayer? It's not just the words. There is a rhythm. There is a harmony to those words. Aravod luso arekagnartar aris luiszakya. Pachumni hore pachyai hokvus bankezi hajus. Kanst vogormutyan kanzit zatsgelo kdolzis ara. Durun vogormutyan tavanogis pats tasetso vernots. I want you to just experience the words outside of translation. Yes, there is a place for translation. I am discounting it, but what I'm saying is that everything has its place. It is not the all of it. That the first part, the first challenge that we have today is to throw ourselves into that with those words. And yes, when you do bring the translation into play, it's not a word for word that you really need to get out of it. Aravod luso, O morning of light, righteous sun, shed on me your light. What does that mean, righteous sun? By the way, that's S-U-N. We're talking about the sun, the center of our solar system. Righteous sun. What does that mean? How could the sun be righteous? Well, Jesus tells us it's righteous, right? He says the Creator allows that sun to reach out on the good and the bad. It is the great equalizer. Everything that's thrown into the sun is vaporized immediately, all the good and the bad. And everything that comes out of the sun is immediately given light, is immediately given warmth, is immediately given life. It is righteous. It is the path of righteousness. And when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, he connects with that righteousness, with that sun. We talk about different concepts many times in religion. And religion certainly has its dogma. Pachumni hore is the second verse. The Holy Spirit which comes forth from the Father. Later on, talks about the Father eternal, consubstantial Son, immortal Spirit, one of the verses reads. Well, you can go into the dogma. And certainly, theologians have a right to do this. And Nerses Shnoradli, by all counts, was the theologian of the Armenian Church. In these hymns, you find the theology of what Armenian Orthodoxy is all about. But as a listener, as an observer, and somebody who experiences these prayers, it's much more than the words, isn't it? It's throwing yourself into it at that moment and letting the flow take you along with it. And if you've ever sat in church and really gotten into any one of these hymns, but in particular Aravo Luso, you know that there is a flow that you can't escape. In fact, many times some of the priests or deacons will try to skip a few verses, but the flow is so great that it just continues and it flows right through. And all 36 verses are sung. Many times I've sat through this experience where it just continues and goes, and there's a repetition, but you don't get tired of it. There is a repetition of the harmonies. There is a repetition of the melody. But each word that comes out gives a new accent. And whether you understand that word or not, there is a new accent there, right? And this is why I'm saying it's much more, the language is much more than the words. For instance, Jarakait Paratz, Janabarin Tsuits, Jebeli Hergins. I mean, when you think about something like that, Jarakait, it's the rays. In fact, it's the same words. Jarakait Paratz means glorious rays. Okay, we're now translating glorious rays. What is that? Yeah, it sounds good. What do you mean glorious rays? Well, now step back and get into the flow of it. Do you know that Jarakait is also the word that they use for the X-rays? When somebody has cancer, in Armenian they say they went through Jarakait. Okay, these are the X-rays or the special radiation therapy that is given to them. Again, the great equalizer, that light, where everything that is bad and doesn't belong is now wiped out. And only the good remains. And that good has this opportunity to exist, and in existing brings new light. So here's a challenge. I told you, you're not going to get this all in one little podcast, right? But how about if we challenge ourselves to really try? And this week, here's the challenge for all of us, okay? Don't settle on translations. Put the translations to one side. If you've been going to Armenian church and picking up the books, put them to one side. Drop them for a few minutes, okay? I love those books. They're really cute and you follow along. It's nice, but I'll tell you, that doesn't make you somebody who really experiences the entire liturgy. Many times, you know, we used to see people taking pictures. We had a friend, his name was Hagop. Growing up, he took pictures right and left. In fact, we used to believe that his eye was a camera. It was one of those little 8mm movie cameras. You remember those things? Well, you got to be pretty old to remember anything like that. Anyway, he had one of these 8mm movie cameras, and oh, he would take movies of everything, anything we did. And probably he has some incredible archive somewhere. I don't even know if he's around or where this archive is. But you know what happened? He viewed life through that viewfinder. He watched his kids grow up through the viewfinder. And isn't there something to be said about, hey, put it down for a few minutes and enjoy life the way it is? View life for what it is through your eyes. And not through this small little hole. In the same way, go to church and enjoy the entirety of it. Not just one word, not trying to find what does this mean, but really throwing yourself into it. The great equalizer, the sun, Aravod Luso, Arekagnartar. And every one of the verses, let it be like a wave this week. Let it take you. Sometimes you don't know where you're going to end up. That's okay too. Trust that God will not abandon you on your path. Realize that not everything is answerable through our meager means, through our head, through our understanding of life. That most of life is a mystery. And that is beautiful. It is a mystery that the fish get together underwater. It is a mystery that the birds fly up in the sky. It is a mystery that we love one another, that I should have feelings and you should have emotions. These are mysteries. Don't try to pin it down. Don't try to understand it with mere logic. And this week when you pray, give it your all to say, God, you are in control. Now here's the catch. Here's the final exercise. When you pray, don't use words.
What?
Yes. That's going to be, you know what? I'm going to leave you with that. In Zen, they call it a koan. There is like something that they throw out at you, and it's the point of your meditation. How about that? Don't pray with words.
Oh,
that's a tough one. Aravod Luso. It is an incredible prayer. It is one that you will come to love as you experience it. Not as you learn it, but as you experience it. Takavor pariats togutyans devo toginzis hansans. One of my favorite ones is when they get to the Redin. And the Redin I would always remembered was what we called, it actually means resin, but it's what we would call the eraser. And it happens to be right next to the verse. It says, Jengelis Hansanis, wipe out my transgressions. Redinet Kachsu, this sweet resin. And you know, the when you put those two together, it's this idea that, wouldn't that be great? All the negative in our life, if there really is this sweet resin, this great equalizer, this nice little eraser that we could just look and mark off all of the problems or all of the sins and all of the bad things that we have done. Well, there is. And that is the righteous Son, the Son Jesus Christ. And that's what this all points to. Pray without words this week, okay? Give it a shot. Right now, I've had it. We've been talking too heavy duty, and I need to float a little. Actually, today, Ani's bubbles are kind of interesting. And more than a story, she's going to share with us some facts. Very interesting. Listen carefully.
If we could shrink the Earth's population to a village of precisely 100 people, with all existing human ratios remaining the same, it would look something like the following. 6 people would possess 59% of the entire world's wealth, and all 6 people would be from the United States. 80 people would live in substandard housing. 70 would be unable to read. 50 would suffer from malnutrition. 1 would be near death. 1 would be near birth. 1, and only 1, would have a college education. 1 would own a computer. When one considers our world from a compressed perspective, the need for acceptance, understanding, and education becomes glaringly apparent. And therefore, if you have food in the refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of this world. If you woke up this morning with more health than illness, you are more blessed than the million who will not survive this week. If you have money in the bank, in your wallet, and spare change in a dish someplace, you are among the top 8% of the world's wealthy people. If you can attend church meetings without the fear of harassment, arrest, torture, or death, you are more blessed than 3 billion people in this world. If you have never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, or the pangs of starvation, you are ahead of 500 million people in the world. If you hold your head up with a smile on your face and are truly thankful, you are blessed because the majority can, but most do not. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Thank you, Ania. Just puts a lot of things in perspective. This was an interesting one. Just really very, very, very interesting. You know, I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, it implies, it means you have some access to technology. You have at least the ability to download a computer. At the very least, you have access to some sound equipment, some audio equipment. And, you know, we are just such a small minority in the bigger picture. And I think many times when we do our In His Shoes projects, we really come down to this really difficult situation. Or dilemma, let me say. Yes, it is a dilemma. Like, the problems out there are so great that which one do we tackle? Or do we need to tackle? And I think many times people just put it off. It's easier to just forget about them. So thank you very much, Ani. This was a really interesting bubble, let's say. Maybe not like the other bubbles that lift us up to the heights of heaven, but certainly gave us a lot to think about. And an opportunity to think about those things is also an opportunity for us to act. And that's where In His Shoes comes in. I can't let this podcast end without giving one final pitch. You know, In His Shoes is the ministry that makes all of this possible. It's putting the your feet in the shoes of others. That, you know, you can love people, you can care for people, but it begins with a respect for other people, respect for human life. Placing your foot in the shoe of someone else says you want to walk like them. You want to try what they're going through and thereby understanding their pain. That understanding is the foundation of respect. Respect is the foundation of the love that we have for one another. In His Shoes. I invite you to our website, inhisshoes.org. Check out all the things that are happening. In particular, we're taking this young girl from Armenia. Her name is Mariam. Severe burns since the age of 2. And she is going to be open for some great opportunities here in America. She'll be with us for the next 6 to 9 months. I'm looking for people who have the ability to help out. Please read about it. There's all kinds of things that you can do real quickly. You know, I mean, simple things. You say, well, I'm not even in the area. How can I help? Well, there's all kinds of things that you can do. You could give a donation. Hey, we need a cell phone. We need her to communicate, right? Well, if you've got one of those plans that you could add a phone on for $10 a month, it may be something you want to consider. Send over a phone. There's all kinds of stuff you can do. That's what the next shoe. Oh, I'm confusing all my metaphors. It's been a long day coming from San Francisco back here. That's what In His Shoes is about. That's what the next step is all about. And I'm so glad that you can laugh with us too. We have a lot of fun putting these podcasts together, and I hope you enjoy listening to them. For the wonderful staff that we have here, I want to thank you for being with us. Please check out our websites, inhisshoesapostle.net. Drop us some feedback. I want to hear from you. I want to know what's going on in your life. Always drop us a note and stay in touch. I'm heading out to St. Nerses, of all places. Going to be teaching a class out that way. Hope to have some information about the seminary for you next week, along with our podcast and all the fun things that are going on. For Susie, our producer, for Ani with her bubbles, for Ken up in the booth on his way to Jakarta, this is Father Bosco, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
Trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.